Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And the golden age of America has most definitely begun. The Senate has already confirmed 5 of President Trump's exceptional cabinet nominees: Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, CIA Director John Ratcliffe, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. It is imperative that the Senate continues to confirm the remainder of the president's well-qualified nominees as quickly as possible.
And we're off. The first press secretary, the first presser from the new White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt. She did great. 45 minutes, tight, boom, zip, done. And there all kinds of interesting little things that she announced, but also lots of interesting changes in the way the press room and the press conferences are going to work. Before we get to that, what did she, the first thing was touting all the stuff that they have done or that the president has done.
As you have seen during the past week, President Trump is hard at work fulfilling the promises that he made to the American people on the campaign trail. Since taking the oath of office, President Trump has taken more than 300 executive actions, secured nearly $1 trillion in U.S. investments, deported illegal alien rapists, gang members and suspected terrorists from our homeland, and restored common sense to the federal government.
Yeah, I mean, this is the job of the press secretary, is a little bit of cheerleading, a little bit of announcing, and then a whole lot of answering angry questions. And, you know, the cheerleading slash announcing stuff was interesting.
On day one, President Trump declared a national emergency at our southern border to end the 4-year-long invasion of illegal aliens under the previous administration. Additionally, President Trump signed an executive order to end catch and release and finish construction of his effective border wall. By using every lever of his federal power, President Trump has sent a loud and clear message to the entire world. America will no longer tolerate illegal immigration. And this president expects that every nation on this planet will cooperate with the repatriation of their citizens.
And also the message being sent to the world or to anybody who might be wanting to come here.
As proven by this weekend, when President Trump swiftly directed his team to issue harsh, effective sanctions and tariffs on the Colombian government, upon hearing they were denied a U.S. military aircraft full of their own citizens who were deported by this administration. Within hours, the Colombian government agreed to all of President Trump's demands, proving America is once again respected on the world stage. So, to foreign nationals who are thinking about trying to illegally enter the United States, think again. Under this president, you will be detained and you will be deported.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that is a, you got to put a little bit aside the rhetorical flourishes, the effective border wall. We're respected on the world stage. I mean, it's her job to be Trump's representative. So it's her job to speak that way to them. She's not meant to be a reporter, a journalist. You know, she's meant to be the White House press secretary, a surrogate for the president. And so you kind of have to ignore that stuff just a little bit in evaluating this. But yeah, if you're going to say that these countries are now going to be responsible for helping to thwart illegal immigration into our country, also to the individuals who might want to come here, you're going to be deported. Of course, you know, we've all seen the news reports of the now thousands, apparently, of people who have already been deported by ICE in this country over the last several days. And the White House did a little bit of, hey, I know you might be thinking that this is just, you know, people who come here and bring a family and they go to work on the farm or the job site. You know, that's not everybody that's being deported. There are some very, very bad people that we are getting rid of.
Every day, Americans are safer because of the violent criminals that President Trump's administration is removing from our communities. On January 23rd, ICE New York arrested a Turkish national for entry without inspection who is a known or suspected terrorist. On January 23rd, ICE San Francisco arrested a citizen of Mexico unlawfully present in the United States who has been convicted of continuous sexual abuse of a child aged 14 years or younger. ICE St. Paul has arrested a citizen of Honduras who was convicted of fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct with a minor. ICE Buffalo arrested a citizen of Ecuador who has been convicted of rape. ICE Boston arrested a citizen of the Dominican Republic who has a criminal conviction for second-degree murder. This criminal was convicted of murder for beating his pregnant wife to death in front of her 5-year-old son. And ICE St. Paul also arrested a citizen of Mexico who was convicted of possessing pornographic material of a minor on a work computer. These are the heinous individuals that this administration is removing from American communities every single day.
So I'm glad she went through some of those examples, because it's hard to imagine anybody objecting to deporting those people. Right? These are the people the Biden administration should have been deporting. The dangerous criminals who are here illegally should definitely not be let in and should be removed if they are in. And anything that stands in the way of that or objects to that, that's a problem. But of course, that's only one part of the story. The other part of the story is, well, what about all of the people who are being deported who essentially their crime is that they're here? And it's a very different level of obviousness that a guy who kills his pregnant wife should be deported versus somebody who literally the only thing they did illegal is come into the country without permission. Because, no sincere person is going to object to A. The question is, how many A's are there and how many people who are just here on the basis of what their crime was coming here, right? And this was brought up by Peter Alexander, I think, from NBC was the one who brought this up anyway.
NBC News has learned that ICE arrested 1,179 undocumented immigrants on Sunday, but nearly half of them, 566 of the migrants, appear to have no prior criminal record besides entering the country illegally. Is the president still focused exclusively, which is a civil crime, it's not criminal.
It's a federal crime.
So I'm asking, though, he said he was going to focus on those violent offenders first. So is violent offenders no longer the predicate for these people to be deported?
The president has said countless times on the campaign trail, I've been with him at the rallies, I know you've been there covering them too, Peter, that he is focused on launching the largest mass deportation operation in American history of illegal criminals. And if you are an individual, a foreign national, who illegally enters the United States of America, you are, by definition, a criminal. And so, therefore, you are subject to deportation.
I apologize for interrupting. So to be clear, violent criminals do not receive precedence in terms of the deportations taking place.
The president has also said two things can be true at the same time. We want to deport illegal criminals, illegal immigrants from this country.
Yeah, and I think that's the answer that they pretty much gave consistently is we don't really have a number for you to give you percentage-wise. There are some really awful people, and then there's a whole bunch of, well, again, their crime is that they're here illegally. And we don't really care. We're going to prioritize getting the really bad people out, and we're also prioritizing getting everybody out. And the number thrown around was 3,500.
3,500 arrests ICE has made so far since President Trump came back into office. Can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws and therefore they are criminals as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
So it's a sea change in terms of their perspective. And again, this has been the challenge, is you have the view of the Biden administration and of Democrat administrations generally has been, well, there's a lot of people here illegally. We can't take care of them all. And in the process of not taking care of all of them and allowing this labor force to work in our country, generally it's a labor force, right? We all know that. We're going to also have some of these people here that are criminals. The Trump administration's view is we're going to get rid of the criminals and we're going to get rid of the labor force, too. We're going to get rid of the people who are here basically in violation of one law or, you know, a collection of regulations about illegal or not or illegal entry into the country. And in the process, it doesn't matter. We don't care. We don't care. We're going to get rid of all of those people. And so far, 3,500 end goal. I mean, 14 million. You know what? You know, the number of people who are here in an undocumented way. And remember that the phrase illegal itself, as immigration advocates would tell you, and they're not wrong, is that that term gets used to cover a wide variety of undocumented statuses, from the person who, you know, just swims across the Rio Grande, you know, or comes across in, you know, hidden in a truck, to a person who comes here in a completely legal way on a temporary or a time-limited visa or work permission, and then they stay past the expiration of that, right? That, and all the way up to people who are, you know, gang members who are coming here and distributing drugs or trafficking other people into the country. There's a whole range of what it means to be here illegally, and the Trump administration seems to be of the opinion that it doesn't matter. If you're not supposed to be here, we're going to get you out. And they seem pretty serious about that based on what Carolyn Leavitt said. I thought she did a very good job of answering most all of the questions. There were a couple of questions that she was a little bit weaker on, particularly this big question of what's the actual impact of the freeze on federal spending. But the question she didn't answer all that well in that regard was how it would affect indirect payments to individuals, like through, for example, Meals on Wheels, or you heard the clip from Council on Aging that David played at the top of the hour. It's the direct payments to people through Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid that are not affected. But the indirect payments that go to agencies and organizations that are then distributed to people through services, those were kind of all on pause to make sure that the money going out the door wasn't in violation of other executive orders that the president has now put in place. And there are serious questions about whether the president has the authority to stop those payments if they were authorized by Congress. Remember, Congress has the power of the purse. And there's now been, you know, lawsuit filed essentially against that pause. And that pause is paused. Legal stuff is hard to keep track of. But the short version is that until Monday, the order to pause all federal payments has itself been put on pause by a judge. And so those payments are continuing. But there is a lot of uncertainty. Uncertainty with everything from, you know, the some ARPA funds, apparently, that the Escambia County is getting for the broadband project that Stephen Barry is his, like, you know, big baby, you know, baby pet project that he's wanted to do in the North End. The ECAT buses that were electric as opposed to, you know, running on fuel. That's in doubt because the president ending the EV mandate and the Green New Deal. Does that mean that money that was going to go out the door to pay for these buses? Well, these are things to be figured out. It's not clear yet. You know, we're still 1 week and a day in, right? So, and it, you know, the flurry of 300 executive actions or orders is, you know, not showing any sign of letting up anytime soon. I mentioned, right, you know, earlier in the discussion that there were some changes to access. They've restored press access to a bunch of media outlets that were prevented. They are specifically focusing on bloggers and online news sources and giving them priority. In fact, Axios and Breitbart got the first two questions, and they're making space available, basically front of the room, for these people to show, you know, the world, the country, and legacy media that, you know, TV and newsprint are not the only game in town, and they're trying to emphasize the value and legitimacy of some of these online sources. So, big changes at the White House ever since the election, or ever since the inaugural. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Identity Theft Awareness Week is here. There's a victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. 3 seconds. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second and will fix identity theft guaranteed or your money back. Plus, plans include the $1 million protection package with up to $3 million in coverage for the most comprehensive plan. Take control of your identity with LifeLock. Save up to 40% off your first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens. I said throw down, boy.
Oh, and we also had a primary yesterday on the Republican side for the Congressional District 1 seat vacated by Matt Gaetz. And we are definitely headed to a recount. Not. What I was saying yesterday, I could not have been more wrong in my expectation for this election. I thought genuinely that we would have probably a very close election. I did not know who was going to win. I know all of the, you know, smart money, so to speak, was betting on Jimmy Patronis and saying that he would win easily with the Trump endorsement. And they were right, and I was completely wrong. So this is why I try not to predict local elections, because you just never know. And, you know, I don't like political polling to begin with. I would, by the way, rather be in that situation where we have no idea what's going to happen and you just have to think about what people are going to do. Jimmy Patronis won in a massive landslide. In a field of 10, he took 66% of the vote. Massive win. Huge. I didn't think anybody would get close to getting a majority. Joel Rudman was in second place at just under 10%. Aaron Dimmock got just under 7. Gene Valentino got 6. Michael Dillon Thompson got 5. And then Greg Merck at 2.5. Jeff Peacock, Kevin Gaffney, John Mills, and Jeff Macy all got less than 2% of the vote. 51,000 votes out of 300,000 Republicans-ish, 308,000, I think, in the four counties. And so that means that roughly 16% of the Republicans decided that's of, you know, and that's not even out of the whole county, that's of the registered Republicans. So 51,000 people for a four-county area. Oh, gosh. 800,000 people, maybe, I think, something like that. I got to go check the numbers. Decided who's going to be the next congressman, because obviously the Republican is going to win on April 1st. So there you go. Trump picked, and now we probably have the next congressman. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. There's new poll out showing that a majority of people living in Greenland do not want to be a part of the U.S. This survey was commissioned by a Danish newspaper, and it showed that...
Well, you obviously can't trust them.
Well, yeah. I mean, most polls show what the person paying for them wants.
That's
don't
right.
They? But this poll in particular showed that 85% of people polled didn't want to...
Lying Danes.
Didn't want to be a part of the
fake
U.S.
Fake Europe news.
It was showed 6% of Greenlanders were in favor of joining the U.S., with 9% being undecided. So take that for, take that for what you will. The Trump administration planning to offer buyouts to federal workers who don't want to go back to the office. They're calling it a deferred resignation program. It would apparently include a severance package of 8 months' pay and benefits. The administration says they would expect 5 to 10% of the federal workforce to quit and take that buyout.
Yeah, 200,000 people they're thinking are going to accept this, if it's legal, and if he has the money to do it. And by the way, a little unclarity, because the way it's written, it makes it sound like, because it's a lot for stay-at-home workers. We're trying to get rid of the people who are on remote work.
Right.
And if they, it seems to indicate they can take the money and they don't have to show up for in-person work, it's not clear to me whether they can still or would still be expected to do remote work or not. Most reports seem to indicate they're just done, but I wasn't clear about that. So I think it's one of these, you know, here's the big announcement, details will follow.
Right, yeah, and they say it could lead to $1 billion in savings if that all
More than that. The number was much more than a billion. I have to look it up real quick. Go ahead, you get a third story.
Yes, Tesla investors are questioning Elon Musk about his role in the White House and his recent apparently straight-arm salute during the inauguration. The car company reports fourth quarter earnings today, and ahead of the earnings call, shareholder inquiries have been pouring in about Musk's involvement in politics.
I was trying to look up the number because I thought it was quite a bit larger than just a billion. Yeah, I don't find it real fast. Blurg. I thought it was a lot. Let me. You said it was $1 billion or more?
Yeah, what I had was about $1 billion.
Okay, all right. I'll trust your number for now.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Confirmation hearing number one for Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
He'll be facing a lot of questions from us that are really concerned about vaccines and other issues. From
Vermont Democratic Senator Pete Welch, Fox's Lucas Tomlinson has more.
Many senators want to hear from RFK Jr. on his stances on vaccines, abortion, and his plans to curb obesity.
Today, RFK Jr. in front of the Senate Finance Committee. Tomorrow, he'll be quizzed by the Senate Help Committee. An offer from the Trump administration of federal workers resign and receive full pay and benefits until the end of September. The deadline for a decision, February 6th. A senior administration official predicts 5 to 10% of federal employees will accept the offer. And Wall Street will be watching the Federal Reserve. It's not expected to cut interest rates. A central bank reveals the decision 2 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we do have mostly cloudy skies. It is 48 degrees in Pensacola. Florida Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis winning the special election Republican primary for the District 1 congressional seat yesterday. That race was called roughly 8 minutes after polls closed.
You know, I'm humbled beyond words. This was probably the biggest race I feel like I've personally had. I mean, I've won two statewide races, but this is different. This is a very large county commission race. You had four counties you had to win over. It was much more of a personal campaign.
Patronis talking with Channel 3 last night at his victory party. He now goes on to challenge Democrat Gabe Vallimont in the general election April 1st. In District 6, Brevard County State Senator Randy Fine won the primary to replace Mike Waltz, who vacated his seat to join the Trump administration as the National Security Advisor. President Trump endorsed both Patronis and Fine. Well, illegal immigrants will no longer get in-state tuition rates at Florida colleges and universities. State lawmakers did pass the Trump Act yesterday. Governor Ron DeSantis had supported that change, but there were other parts of this bill that he opposed. For one, some immigration powers the governor has would be given to the agriculture commissioner instead. DeSantis called the bill weak, and he has not said whether or not he would sign it. If he did, it would give House enforcement. If he did, it would give law enforcement money to buy more beds for illegal immigrants before they're deported. It would also make the death penalty mandatory for any illegal immigrant that commits a capital crime. And the Democrat Party in Florida, reacting to the passing of the Trump Act, they're calling it an unconscionable abuse of power for a state legislature. FDP Chair Nikki Fried releasing a statement yesterday after the bill passed. She said it would have drastic consequences for immigrants in Florida, especially, she said, dreamers who would be kicked out of college before they can finish their degree. An Orlando nonprofit could be one of those affected by a controversial move by President Trump. The president yesterday ordering that pause on federal aid for financial assistance programs. Martha R. is the CEO of the Homeless Services Network. She says she was unable to access funds yesterday after that announcement was made. A judge later blocked the order until next Monday. Police in Coral Gables say officers stopped two vans that were transporting more than two dozen Chinese migrants. There were 26 Chinese migrants, including 17 men and 9 women. Police say they were in the process of being transported Tuesday to an unknown location. Police Chief Ed Hudak says they believe the migrants came by boat and were then moved to a secluded area around the southern end of the city. Two alleged smugglers were also taken into custody. It's 5:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We will have some cloudy skies today with a high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54 degrees. On Thursday, cloudy skies with a high near 68. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Showers and thunderstorms on Friday with an 80% chance of rain, high near 70 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 48 in Pensacola, 49 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to our dear friend Chip Simmons, who is the sheriff in Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are we all?
We're doing well. So, we had, when there's snow, there's not crime. Or not as much. Is that a fair way to say
it? I think that's fair to say. I think that we have really cold weather, or we have certainly a blizzard.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to call it a blizzard because it certainly was.
Well, it was, according to the Weather Channel, it was Tropical Storm Enzo.
Yeah, I never knew it had a name.
Let's
either
just say it's a blizzard.
Yeah. Hey, it snowed is what
it's definitely a blizzard. No, it was good.
Yeah. But we did have some calls for service, and we put some numbers out yesterday because everyone's putting the numbers out because people were asking, you know, how many calls did you respond to? Well, our dispatch center almost had 1,000 calls, about 950 calls or so
during
that
the storm?
Night alone.
Oh, on
just
Tuesday.
Tuesday, the 24 hours from Tuesday until Wednesday.
What's a normal?
We probably have about that many calls into the dispatch center, but we had fewer criminal complaints. So, you know, the dispatch calls go and pick up a burglary call or something.
Yeah.
But our deputies, you know, to their credit, we didn't crash any cars. We didn't.
Wow.
We were able to continuously respond to all of our calls, certainly priority calls, but all of our calls.
Because you have so many northern transplants who come and work in Escambia County as cops?
I think that it's because our guys were able to look at the road and realize let's go a little slower than what we have been going. And I think that it's just
so that's for all 3 days? Like
all 3 days,
through Friday? They didn't,
yesterday.
Okay.
Now, we had some cars slide off the road, but they geared it up and went right back out. And we didn't have any.
Because the ice, especially on, you know, particularly Thursday and Friday, was the real, like, that's the scary stuff, right? So.
But I will echo something that I think I heard Eric say from the EOC was that, you know.
Eric Gilmore,
say from the Mercy Operations in the county, saying that the people staying off the roads kind of helped a bit. I would say that it helped a lot. I think that the event itself helped because the next day there was still a lot of snow, so people were satisfied with walking around and trying to play in the snow and their neighbors and that sort of thing. And a lot of places closed. So Wednesday was a big day for us, and then into Thursday. So those of us who lived through the ice storm, pretty much it wasn't near as bad as the ice storm was, with regards to driving on our roadways. But the snow stuck around for snow and or ice stuck around for about 4 or 5 days. It was certainly
I just said goodbye to my backyard snowman this morning. I went out there at 4:50 a.m. and there was about 3 inches of snow left. He's going to be gone by the time I get home.
A big one, yeah.
Yeah.
The one that we made last until yesterday morning.
Yeah,
and then probably by noon, I didn't watch it die. I'm not that kind of guy. But I
out there with your time lapse photography,
like you're over there in tears,
going through the saying goodbye.
Oh, we didn't name our snowman. We didn't do any of that.
Well, I mean, you know, more tips on creativity. Just follow me on Facebook. Yeah.
Never.
Well, wow. Ouch. All right. Fair enough. But you know, you make a good point that part of it is being cautious. Part of it is if there's not so many cars out there, fewer things to run into. I mean, just, you know, it's a probability thing. But also, good note is, when it's cold and snowy and icy, the criminals aren't out jacking cars and doing drive-bys or trying or, you know, I mean, crime is down because criminals have to be shelter in place, too.
Yeah, you know, we got to thinking about that, and we'll take what we can get.
Right, sure.
We're okay with that. The cities up north, I guess Detroit's and Minneapolis's, the downtown areas up there that seem to have a lot of crime, they can't have that much crime in January, February, and March. I mean, it's 1 degree up there.
Oh, they're just all walking around. They do the same stuff.
I guess they're making it up in the summer. I mean, they're really going crazy when it gets warmer up there. But I know we did like everyone else did. We tried to enjoy as much as we can. We understood that we had a very serious obligation to public safety, and obviously we took that very seriously. We had a lot of conversations, a lot of planning ahead of time. We had our deputies that were in the courthouse out in the street. We had deputies that were in our school resource program out in the street because, again, they're not the schools were closed
all week.
Closed,
yeah.
So we had a number of people out there available to us, and our guys just did a fantastic job of doing the job. And I was thinking the other day that because it's a snow event, because I've seen so many pictures of families in the middle of the blizzards and such thing, and my deputies couldn't do that. There are family photos that our deputies won't be in, because they had to work that night or they had to work the very next day. And that's the sacrifice that first responders make, and I'm very proud of them for doing so.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. The photos that they're not going to be in, that's an interesting way to put it. We did have, as far as we know, we only had one death connected to the storm in any way, and that was this lady in the memory care center, right?
That is correct. And it's not really, we're not even sure if it was connected to the storm.
Right.
There was a death reported, and by statute, we investigate all deaths that don't occur, unattended deaths, deaths don't occur in a hospital, or deaths that a physician will sign off on a death certificate. So in this case, there was an elderly individual that was in a memory care facility, and they had wandered off or walked outside and ultimately went to the hospital.
But it's like into a courtyard that they have access to. It's not like outside the building.
Yeah, it wasn't in a wooded area.
Got it.
As I understand, it was a courtyard on the facility itself. There was an open door that they can access in and out. So we're investigating it and because that's our obligation. With the autopsy is completed, but we do not yet have the report. So to say it's weather related, it's still too early to tell. To say it's even criminal, it's certainly too early to tell.
Sure.
We investigate a lot of what we call unattended deaths, and a lot of them, if they're not suspicious in nature, there's no suspicion of foul play, then we'll look at it and we'll determine that, again, it was either natural causes or if it was a suicide in some cases or maybe just a civil matter that someone has to deal with.
Well, and I mean, that's the job, right, is you have to not take the obvious answer for granted. You have to do the work and make sure. And also, you know, Deanna Oleski, the medical examiner, same thing. You have to look at the physical evidence in the body and the autopsy and make sure that it matches the likely cause of death and that there wasn't, you know, something else going on, that somebody's trying to hide it as a suicide or, you know, whatever. Right.
You can't go back after the fact. So we have to make sure we do everything that we can.
Right.
And take our time with it. It's obviously a tragedy occurred, and our thoughts obviously go to the family in this situation. And we're trying to get a pretty good feel for what took place. We'll put that down. We'll have a conversation with the state attorney's office and determine if there are any criminal charges to be had.
I did want to ask you a little bit about the immigration stuff. Of course, President Trump has already put in a bunch of executive orders. The state at the legislature is in a squabble right now with Governor DeSantis over whose version of local law is going to triumph. You know, at the moment, DeSantis has been scrapped and theirs is going to go. But is he going to veto what they're calling the Trump Act? Unknown at this point. We'll see what the final version is that comes out of it. What time tomorrow are you guys planning to show up at the local elementary schools and round up all of the undocumented kids? Do you have a plan yet?
Yeah, I want to make sure that understand that you're joking.
This is joking. But that's the way this is being described, is that Trump is telling Chip Simmons to go down to Holm Elementary and pick up all the... Yeah, I mean, like, what is actually going to change from your point of view when kind of the dust settles or as we're going forward?
Well, I guess there's a couple parts here. The first thing deals mainly with the jails. We don't run the jail, but it deals with what happens if an individual is in jail and whether they hold them so that federal immigration officers can start the deportation process. That's for criminals. Typically, if you're in the jail still, you've committed a felony of some sort and you know, a very serious type crime. That's some requirements that are already in place for county jails. But again, I don't run the jail. The rest of that is how much will they, A, mandate, or B, request cooperation and working the local law enforcement with state officials or federal officials. And again, it depends on who you talk to and which article you read last on who's writing this
right,
thing, this whole
right,
political
agreed.
Theater that we always have going on. But I know that from experience that these things change from the original versions to how they are. And people get all up in arms about what things look like and what things
filed,
say.
Right.
And I'm okay with people giving opinions. I hope people pick up the phone and call their representatives or senators and give their opinions, because they should want that. And I know that our locals do want that. But ultimately what we'll do is we'll see what happens and whether there's a requirement on local enforcement or there's a request for local enforcement. I just want them to remember we're busy. Right? We answer calls for service. We have other things we have to do. There is a federal agency that's tasked with this. If the state, whether it's the governor or legislature, wants to, and this is my opinion. So again, I'm
well, you're an elected official. You can have an opinion. That's your job.
People seem to be talking all about this, so I can have an opinion as well. You know, if the state
did I mention that you ran unopposed?
Yes,
you're allowed to have an opinion.
I can have an opinion. And maybe someone cares about my opinion,
right?
Yeah, there may be someone out there listening. But I think that if you want to get involved in it, create the state agency. But just keep in mind that the local law enforcement, and I'll speak specifically to the Escambia County, we have a job to do. We're our job, and we're very busy doing it, and we're trying to keep the people of Escambia County safe. Do I want hardened borders? Do I want more secure borders to keep fentanyl from coming in here, keeping violent gangs from coming in here? Of course I do. Do your job. That's all I want them to do.
Don't make me do your job.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. We have a job. We're doing our job. And I'm not saying that we're not going to cooperate with federal or state officers. We do that on a number of different avenues. I just want them to understand that local law enforcement is very busy.
What, I mean, just give me a wild guess. What percentage of calls or arrests that your officers and your deputies do even come into contact with illegal immigrants? I mean, I have no idea what the answer to that question. That's why I ask. I mean, I'm assuming the number is a very small percentage.
It is a very small percentage. We do not have the call volume that some of my fellow sheriffs have,
sure,
regarding undocumented
right,
or you know, potentially those that are in the country illegally. I know a lot of my fellow sheriffs in Central and South Florida are dealing with this a lot. I mean, that it's an everyday occurrence for them. And it's really not something that we're getting calls for. We're just not. And that's, I guess that's a good
thing. So like a number approaching 0%? Like
It's probably a little bit more than that. We do have some that we end up arresting. We do have on occasions.
Well, and I meant that too. Like, you know, you'd pull somebody over on, you know, Highway 29 or something or whatever, and you get into their business and they don't have drugs, but they turn out to be undocumented. Like even that, like out of all of the calls and interactions you have, I mean, it's got to be way less than 5%. And I was curious if it was like 1%, 2%.
I'd probably estimate 2.5%. Something,
oh, okay.
Something along those lines. We did some
one out of 50 vicinity, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. Well, we did some traffic stop information that I was asking for on, you know, who we stop regards to our what we call TSDR reports, which basically mandates that we document how many traffic stops we make, the gender, the race of who we stop. So we can determine whether we're enforcing it in a manner which was not consistent with our population.
Is that something that was in place in the sheriff's office before you came? Because I know that was in place when you were the police chief.
It was, yeah.
You brought it over?
Yeah, well, no, it's mandated for all agencies in
the
state of Florida.
Okay.
So, yeah, we had it at Pensacola Police Department. All agencies should be doing it. And it gives us an idea. It doesn't mean that we have to have exactly this area, but it gives us something to look at and say, okay, this deputy is stopping more of this particular type of individual, but they're working in an area that is the population is you know, it matches that type of a traffic stop.
Right.
So and then we look at the crime. You know, we look at our heat map and say, okay, a lot of this violent crime is taking place here, so that's going to be more. There's going to be more traffic stops in that particular location.
Right. The data might have an explanation, but you got to start with the data to know. You know,
to know if there is an explanation. Yeah.
Exactly right. All right. Well, I was curious about that and that. That's actually, when you say, you know, 1 out of 50, that's actually a little higher than I would have expected, but that gives me some sense for Escambia County, and certainly understanding that other parts of Florida, particularly South Florida, I mean, this is a daily for all many of the officers. Sheriff Simmons, as always, thank you for the information. Thanks for keeping us safe, and congratulations on having no northern deputies and winding up with zero traffic incidents in the blizzard of 2025.
We may have some northern deputies. I'm not aware of them. We're not saying all of our northern deputies.
They're closeted northerners.
You know,
is that what you're
saying? No, we don't. Well, I don't know about that either. All I know is that we look at everyone and say, hey, here's your keys to your car. You've been trained. Please don't crash that
as
car.
As long as they occasionally say y'all, they're good. All right.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying. We got some new white cars
now. I don't want them all dinged up.
Oh, yeah. How many of the white cars do you have rolled out
well,
now?
Well, we got about 24 to 25 that'll be coming out.
Out of a fleet of 300?
Oh, no. We have a fleet of about 500 cars.
500, okay.
Yeah, for about 450 deputies.
Okay. So, and you said how many are out so far?
We probably have 24 that are either out or just about to go out. We get about 30 to 50 cars a year.
Okay.
And we got the first 25, and we'll get about 20 more.
Are they in demand?
Oh, yes, they're in demand.
They want them?
Yes.
All right. They want the new car, probably, is what they want.
Well, they want a new car, but also they really like the design.
Okay,
to look
excellent.
At it.
It's been, again, a cost savings for us, the citizens, in addition to being a new scheme. Again, Sheriff, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 437-1620. That's my phone number. You can always text me with anything that you have a question about or, you know, wonder. Oh, actually, somebody had texted me earlier and asked me about Carolyn Leavitt, the new press secretary for the White House, and, you know, kind of where she came from. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Pensacola Hardware is a place you want to go if you've got any kind of a project you're working on, you're building something for a living, if you're a professional contractor. Hey, those are your people. Like, if you've never been in there and asked them what they can do for you, do. Just go in and talk to him and ask him, hey, you know, look, I'm a contractor. Andrew's always talking about you. He says you're great, and I build things for a living. What can you do for me? And they'll tell you. I mean, I can give you some of the things, you know, like they can put you on a monthly line of credit. They can, you know, ship stuff straight to the job site so you don't have to go in and pick it up. You know, they will have it in stock if you need it. They won't have to order it because that's, you know, they've been doing this long enough that they know what you're going to need. But, you know, they'll tell you, you know, what they can do for you. If you're somebody more like at my end of the spectrum, you know, barely a 1 on the 1 to 10 scale, for me, it's not just supplies, but it's advice and guidance. You know, they can tell me how to do it and I answer my questions. And ask a real person and get interactive advice. You know, well, maybe that's not the best way to do it, Andrew. You're going to get hurt. Okay, cool. What's the safe way to do it? Like, that's the kind of stuff that they're really, really good at. They have been helping people build things since 1851. The oldest company in the entire state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire United States, and an institution. Go visit it if you never have. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You must have thought it was White Boy Day. Yeah? It ain't White Boy Day, is it?
Oh, man, it ain't White Boy Day.
This is my chance to see how much I swung and missed on a relatable sound clip. Do you know the movie that's from? Do you recognize that clip at all?
I recognize it, but I don't know.
Okay, it's from the movie True Romance with Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette.
Oh.
And Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper and Gary Oldman and Brad Pitt even. I mean, Gary Oldman in that movie plays white guy wants to be black drug dealer Drexel. The best role by Gary Oldman ever,
right.
You know.
Right.
You've just been clocking me. And like, it's a great role. You almost would never see him play that role again. Anyway, so I just watched that movie again recently. It's one of my favorite action movies. It's outstanding. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Carolyn Leavitt, the new press secretary for the White House, that we're going to be featuring a lot of stuff from that throughout the day today because she's great. And somebody had asked the question, who is she? Where'd she come from? Well, she's young. I mean, she's 27, August 24th, 1997. So she's 27. She ran for Congress in 2022, and she won the Republican primary but lost in the general election. So she ran at 25. And she was a White House press secretary. She was an assistant press secretary and a presidential writer in the first campaign, and she was the press secretary for the 2024 presidential campaign. So, you know, where did she come from? Well, you know, homegrown, so to speak. But, yeah, no, she's fantastic. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, day one is always day one, and then thereafter we'll see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David. Oh, we were looking up to try to figure out the impact of the federal, the offer to go away, basically, you know, take a retirement plan and get paid through September. And I think the White House has said it's $100 billion. I can't make the math for that work because if they do manage to get 10%, that's 200,000 people. Even 100 grand a piece, that's only 20 billion. I mean, 20 billion is a lot. That's an aircraft carrier. But I would say that the likely estimate is probably somewhere shy of 50 billion, depending on what people make. But that, you know, it's a lot. I mean, a huge amount of money. If he's allowed to do it, you know, that's its own question.
1 billion, 100 billion. What difference does any?
Well, you know, it's the difference between 10 F-35s, right? Or 10 aircraft carriers.
No, absolutely. It's a lot of money. Well, President Trump now says he's asked Elon Musk to send SpaceX to get two astronauts who've been stuck on the International Space Station, astronauts Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore. They were part of that Boeing mission all the way back in June. It was supposed to last 10 days at the most, longest 10 days of their lives, I'm sure.
And that's why I'm never going to space.
3-hour tour. Yeah, I can exactly. only think of 3-hour tour.
Yeah. Gilligan's Space Station.
So now I guess SpaceX being tasked to go rescue them. A U.S. Air Force pilot is safe after an F-35 fighter jet crashed in central Alaska. Officials at the Eielson Air Force Base near Fairbanks say the pilot declared an emergency during a training flight and ejected from that plane yesterday afternoon. The Air Force says the jet experienced an in-flight malfunction, but the pilot is in stable condition and undergoing a medical evaluation.
Yeah, that's definitely the good news. Oh, we have an answer on why egg prices are so high. I'll tell you next.